Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on the Quirky Catnips podcast, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted, which we will do until the entire audiobook has been broadcasted. We invite all you kitties to kick back now, relax, and enjoy Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted by Adele Park.
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
A directive from Gertrude Fletcher, head of the Naval Utah Department of Motor Vehicles. Part 18.
I may have perished in a motor vehicle incident on the same bridge that claimed the life of Blue McKenna, but that's where the similarities stop. I take umbrage with the notion that my demise was caused by faulty driving. During the time I spent as the director for the Department of Motor Vehicles in Naval, I practiced what I preached about driver safety. I took the job at the DMV because I was ready to retire from double deuces, but not from work. It was complete serendipity that I became romantically entangled with Boyd Fletcher during my final few weeks at the Double Deuces. Unbeknownst to Boyd, I had already turned in my notice and did not slip out under a shroud of secrecy, as he was led to believe. In fact, my employers at Double Deuces threw a going-away party, surprising me by flying in my older brother for the festivities. I retired from the FBI at the same time, as I would no longer be able to answer questions about who darkened the doors of the Double Deuces Casino. My reward for 40 years of service? A nice pension, but no party. I used the money to help a niece get through college and to bail out an uncle who was struggling under the weight of medical expenses. Why didn't I share this money with Boyd? Doing so would have required disclosing where the money came from. I found it less taxing to just get another job. As it so happened, the DMV in Naval was sorely in need of reformation. I was the perfect match for the position, having acquired a lifetime of organizational skills at my previous two positions. There was no need to disclose my work history to my ward Blue. She had her own path to navigate. The extraneous details of my life would only add confusion. The goal was to motor Blue into the next existence, even though she thinks I'm trying to block her efforts. Why would I do that? Certainly not because I want to find Blue haunting my office at the DMV every day. Despite Blue's unfounded suspicions that I am somehow keeping her here, she's become keenly aware that in order to cross over, she will need the assistance of others. But to do this, Blue must first gain the cooperation of her longtime rival, Skitters the Cat. Next!
In case you haven't noticed, you've been ghosted.
Chapter 18. Blue McKenna.
The noise damn near broke the sound barrier. Even the granite pillars of the overly ornate bridge in front of Juniper Hollow seemed to sway in the reverberation of the horrendous sound. God, if such a being exists, must have been thinking, who in the hell is making all that racket down there? The answer would be Delphina Fletcher, Boyd Fletcher's long-lost grandmother. This hella-hollering was Delphina's not-so-subtle way of stopping me from moving towards the hallowed white light. It wasn't the first time, either. In a flash, it all came back. Me, at the crematorium, waiting for my body to be slid into the MRI tube, heading to Asheville. I wasn't scared. That is, until I heard Delphina screaming at rectal surgeon concert levels.
Go back!
It's taken all these months to piece it together, but I now understand what caused me to boomerang my truck into the bridge at Juniper Hollow. There was someone standing in the middle of the road. She was barefoot, wearing a floor-length white nightgown with a lacy collar. Half her face looked like congealed lasagna, dripping red goo, frozen in time. Creepy deepy, especially when viewed in the early morning mist. I imagine Gertrude had a similar reaction when she came upon this same figure herself. What we saw in the last moments of our lives, both Gertrude and me, was Delphina. I didn't know who she was at the time. Maybe Gertrude did, but she's as tight as a tick when it comes to sharing information. I can tell she's still keeping some pertinent details from me. Something to do with Delphina. What I know for sure is that I unwittingly re-released the Kraken trying to leave this shivering, odorous existence a second time. I've been dead so long, the only portal out of here now is at the place where I exited the land of the living, that being the bridge at Juniper Hollow. I thought I could just saunter through to the white light. The sound coming out of what was left of Delphina's mouth was so powerful it would have knocked me over if I had a real body. The day of Delphina's scream-a-rama began with me finally confronting Gertrude Fletcher. "You keep telling me my case is being argued with the people in the main office," I said, swirling around Gertrude's dungeon gray space at the DMV. "There is no main office unless you count that hellhole underneath the bridge." I didn't need to tell Gertrude which bridge I was referring to. That bridge claimed her life, too, only Gertrude was driving the opposite way when she skipped off the grid. "Why are you and that batwanger, Delphina, keeping me here?" I yelled. Aside from the baying banshee incident at the crematorium that kept me here in the first place, my other attempts to cross over or whatever happens when you exit this realm were always scrubbed by Gertrude. I don't know if Gertrude put a spiritual tracking device on me or what, but every time I try to bust out of here, she threatens to hand my case over to her superior, who I now know is Delphina. And all this time, I thought her superior was God. Wow, guess I've been punked. When I first inherited this ghastly bride getup they put me in at the funeral home, I went along to get along, mostly because of Rudy. He hadn't even been born when I died. If you think a normal baby birthing is gross, you wouldn't have wanted to peek in on my husband extracting Rudy from my belly like an off-season hunter gutting a poached elk. Rudy was so tiny and frail. I couldn't leave him behind. Now I see that I must. I'm just not sure how. Gertrude's reaction to my insubordination was puzzling. She wasn't bureaucratically defiant, nor offended by my hostility. Gertrude, small of stature but larger than life when it comes to authority, actually seemed a little scared and tired. I get that. This rest in peace thing is anything but peaceful. It's goddamn exhausting if you ask me. Rather than respond to my haughty tone, Gertrude suggested she accompany me back to the scene of the crime, so to speak. Only the crimes committed against Gertrude and me weren't done by a human. These down-and-outers were courtesy of the ghost of Delphina. Although they'd never met in person, a few years ago, Delphina made a full-on effort to get Gertrude to join her on the other side of mortality. The plan, it seems, was to prompt the authorities to have another look at the bridge when they came to scrape the remains of Gertrude off the pilings. Maybe someone would finally find Delphina's body cemented up like the center of an exceptionally nasty Tootsie Roll. When that didn't pan out, Delphina shoved me off the mortal coil. Having done extensive research on the subject, I was well aware that Delphina experienced a deplorable finale. I was never in the camp of some Navalites who thought Delfina just wanted to get away from the shame and financial ruin caused by her family. Boyd's father and Delfina were snatched in the middle of the night over a business arrangement gone south. They were taken by the mob to Juniper Hollow for interrogation. Only one returned. What did they want? Well, money, for one thing, and not just what they thought the Fletchers owed them. Boyd believes there was a wad of cash hidden somewhere in Juniper Hollow, left over from the bootlegging days. By this point in time, the Fletchers had already surrendered Juniper Hollow and were living in Naval. I was intrigued enough to begin writing about it. Boyd, eager to get to the bottom of what really happened to his grandmother, supplied me with oodles of documents, photos, and blueprints. Why the latter, you ask? Because Juniper Hollow was a Houdini house, full of secret compartments, escape hatches, and lookout points. Ditto for the property itself, including the catacombs underneath Granite Ridge, the one that Boyd's cabin sits on top of. Delfina wasn't in the catacombs. Boyd is approaching the Krusty Codger stage of life, but in his youth, he spent a lot of time exploring the maze of caves under the ridge. Part of this was due to his work as an errand boy for the family firewater business. Later, he went there looking for his grandmother. The grounds itself also had a lot of hidden crannies, both for people and contraband. Among them are watchtowers, cleverly built into the granite pilings holding up the little bridge in front of Juniper Hollow. Truly, it's way more bridge than needed for the drainage ditch it covers. Fancy turrets crown the pilings on top of the bridge, each with a lookout window carved into them. The one on the west side, the closest to the entrance to Juniper Hollow, has a little door that leads into a hollowed-out interior. The view out of the window shows a good quarter mile of the road, leaving whoever was on watch duty plenty of time to alert the bootleggers at Juniper Hollow if trouble was coming. I explored it once before my belly grew so big I couldn't fit through it comfortably. The other turreted columns were solid granite except for the small windows at the top. Boyd said in the old days they used to put lanterns in those windows so the gangsters from Las Vegas could find the place when they were sneaking into the area at night. I didn't know about the hiding space in the column underneath the bridge, opposite the piling with the door. No one did. That's because the space needed to squeeze into the middle of that piling had been cemented over. Care was taken to make it look like the other ones, leaving most to believe the only lookout spot was the one on top.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. What happens when cosmetics and polygamy collide? Find out in Quirky Killers by Adele Park. Take a trip to quirky polygamist country, where one of the local brides is just itching to get her husbands to heaven in a hurry. Quirky Killers. Get it today on Audible.com. You'll die laughing.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Gertrude is being a little more forthcoming now that she knows I'm planning a spiritual jailbreak for real this time. She isn't sad to see me go. We're hardly what you'd call friends. Gertrude just doesn't want to be stuck here while Granny Dearest kills someone else by making them plow into the bridge. Perhaps they'll coin a new term, death by sturdy construction. This bridge has been the cause of at least 2 fatal car wrecks, and there isn't a dent in either one of the pilings. What there is, however, is Delfina's vertical grave. That piling, according to Gertrude, is the main office. "Let me get this straight," I said. "The body of Boyd's grandmother is trapped in the piling underneath the east side of the bridge at Juniper Hollow? Based on her bloody Picasso face, I'm guessing she was already dead when they sealed it up. This whole bridge situation is like a prison where you serve your sentence but can never leave." Oh, terrific. I'd gone from being the wife of a rock star to bottom dwelling with the ungrateful dead. Worse than that, I just wasted 6 months hanging around the DMV, hoping Gertrude, my so-called caseworker, would get me sent back to the land of the living. I understand now why Gertrude's office remains unoccupied by people with a pulse. Office is too fanciful a word to describe this space. Grubby gap is more accurate. It's so small, it barely fits her desk. And Gertrude, behind that desk, is even smaller. Her tabletop looks like the landing pad for the space shuttle compared to her tiny body. Never underestimate the power of the small. Gertrude retained dominion over this dingy space at the DMV even after she put on that pine overcoat. Actually, Gertrude wasn't buried, and neither was I. Both of us were torched at the same facility in St. George. They don't do cremations in Naval. The locals prefer to head off to Planet Kolob or wherever it is Mormons go, intact. Good plan, Mormon clan. Who knows what kind of shape I'd be in if Delfina hadn't scared me into this nippy noodles form of purgatory. I'm guessing Delfina did the same thing to Gertrude. Just in case you're wondering, Gertrude's ghost is dressed in a severe navy blue skirt and blazer with a standard white blouse underneath. Her clothing is professionally versatile. She could dispense overpriced drinks on an American Airlines flight or serve as a rear admiral in the Navy in that getup. It also fits right in at the DMV, Gertrude's natural habitat. I've got a translucent body dressed in my wedding gown and white cowboy boots. I'm just glad that when I came to, I found myself in that instead of the ginormous purple smock I was wearing when I prematurely clocked out. One thing is undeniable now. My gossamer bride body is beginning to dim. There's even a noticeable decline in the flatulent fumes I seem to broadcast everywhere I go. Just to clarify, being an airborne toxic event is not my top choice for a superpower. Well, actually, there is one situation when cutting a stink pickle is useful. A well-placed fleek right in the smirky face of Skitters has proven to be an effective way to get that oversized snarknado to get off his lazy butt and help. The night of the concert was a perfect example. I skipped the show, hoping to conserve my energy and refill my noxious fumes tank. Certain everyone would wind up at Legacy Grove grubbing for food afterwards, I literally chilled out, hovering near my favorite tree in the orchard. Did you know being dead is cold as hell? Even when you're ghosting in a place like Naval, where the temperatures are often in the triple digits during the summer. Like today, it was August, so the thermometer should have been aiming north towards fall, only it wasn't. As much as I hated to miss Taj's performance, not to mention the first stage appearance of the rectal surgeons since my untimely demise, it was probably for the best. I spent the day building up one last wad of gaseous grossness, hoping to drive home the point that I'm trapped in a nightmare involving the Department of Motor Vehicles and needed help. No one is getting out of here until Delfina scores the thing she's been seeking for decades, a proper burial and the clearing of her name. Delfina may vape around Juniper Hollow, scaring the freckles off everyone she comes in contact with, but she wants the citizenry of Naval to know she didn't run off with the mob, Understandable. But how the hell was I supposed to convey this? That's when Gertrude mentioned skitters. Not by name, just the word cat. Wonderful! Now my spiritual salvation is in the paws of an uppity, grossly overweight feline. Perfect. Skitters is like one of those spurs that somehow manages to worm its way into your hiking boot, digging into your flesh with every step. Spur-chewed flesh would be pleasant compared to spending time with this lard ass in a striped fursuit. I used to like cats. Then I met Skitters. His new girlfriend, Miss Kitty, is okay, but Skitters is a level one bastard. Hard to imagine what Miss Kitty sees in him. Skitters and I didn't need words to describe our mutual dislike of each other when I was pulse positive. Now, words are all I've got, and Skitters is the only one who can hear them. "I'll quit breathing on you if you help me," I said, chasing Skitters as he bolted out of the kitchen. The room was packed with family members salivating over waffles and what I guess to be a half a side of pork. "Get them to the piling under the bridge," I said. I tried this once before, only then I didn't know about the second hiding spot, the one where Boyd's grandmother was seal-a-mealed inside. I just knew this was my bus stop to the afterlife. Skitters jammed his watermelon-sized body behind the couch, trying to ignore me. "I am going to haunt every second of your pathetic life until you fix this," I threatened. That dander dispenser had the nerve to actually hiss at me. I responded by serving up a breathy fart banger aimed squarely at the smug expression on Skitter's face. Hiding behind the couch wasn't going to help this fickle fucker. "In the morning, you are going to leave Gecko's Gulch and sit your fat, lazy ass in front of that pillar where Delphina Fletcher is holed up," I said. I was joyful to discover that my anger and frustration had actually colored my breath a misty green. Good. The visuals helped underscore my point. When Moon and the twins come to collect you, refuse to budge your plus-sized badonkadonk until they get the message. Ignore me, and I will breathe in your face every time you try to sleep. If Skitters could give me the finger, this would be that moment. I was getting fatigued. I'd literally blown my wad and needed to rest. Skitters made a break for the shed, thinking he could escape from me. Stupid cat. I can go anywhere. I did one of those gestures indicating I was watching as Skitters hauled his lumpy butt across the yard with unusual speed. Always one to keep my word, the vapor assault on Skitters began before dawn. I needed him out of the house at Gecko's Gulch before sunrise. Miss Kitty, Boyd's cat, is always up with the roosters and was already on the scene when I beamed in. I don't know how Skitters and Miss Kitty communicate. They seem to be able to coordinate their efforts to manipulate their humans. One thing is for certain, both cats would be missed by their owners. Sooner or later, someone would come looking. I'm not sure why anyone would be sorry to see Skitters disappear. He's such a snot grubber. Miss Kitty is a different story. She's kind of a nice cat, despite her obvious poor choice in suitors. I followed behind Skitters, nudging him along with puffs of rancid air whenever he'd stop to rest his considerable haunches. I didn't appreciate all the hissing. It was going to be a long day, even for someone facing eternity like me. Boyd was the first to notice his house was pussy-free. He wisely skipped the shortcut down the ridge through the catacombs underneath, driving instead. This made it impossible to miss the cats, plus the yippy white dog that lives at Juniper Hollow. When Boyd rambled up in his truck, all three animals were in the middle of the bridge, lined up like they were marching in a parade, heading towards hell. Boyd was on his cell, talking with Moon as he exited his truck. Turning to Skitters, I said, "When Moon shows up, get your flubber butt down to the pillar where that swamp monster is holed up. No need for niceties. This little jerk pooped in one of my favorite shoes when I was still alive. I have a pretty good idea he also did something tetchy to my toothbrush." It was time to put some ghosts to rest, mine included. Who knew about Gertrude? Clearly, she was still attached to the DMV, or maybe even the FBI. Most people would have been dumbstruck to learn about Gertrude's other job. I certainly was, surprised all the more that Gertrude would even disclose this to me. As someone who allowed their twin to go on book tours in my name, and as someone married to a gastrointestinal specialist who moonlights as a rock star, I know all too well how easy it is to lead a double life. It's called compartmentalizing, but not by the outside world. They look at these situations as being deliberately deceptive. Gertrude had an actual thread on Delphina before she died. She'd been looking at some old blueprints of Juniper Hollow in Boyd's office and had gone to see if there was a secret hiding place no one else knew about. If Delphina hadn't been such a horrid bitch about the whole thing, she could have gotten what she wanted a lot earlier. Now, Delphina has the blood of another innocent person on her hands. And everyone's fate lies in the paws of a lumbering ball of fatty fur. It was exceptionally galling to have to go through Skitters in order to ascend to the light Delphina keeps blocking me from. The minutes ticked by slower than a herd of turtles out for a stroll. Miss Kitty seemed nervous. Boyd seemed disinterested. To him, it was just another day of waiting for Moon and the twins to fetch their crummy cat. Sitting in his truck, listening to KNVL and drinking coffee, Boyd appeared to be enjoying himself. He had no idea Skitters would soon open the gates to hell. Moon, for her part, took her time in coming. "I realize I have eternity, but I almost died of boredom waiting for her." Skitters must have been sick of passing the time as well, because he bolted for Delphina's granite tomb the second the twins tumbled out of Moon's SUV. Down the embankment the girls went, Miss Kitty following. I could have killed Delphina for what she did next. As soon as the girls got within eyesight of the pillar, she emerged, gory guts and all. For once in his godforsaken life, Skitters did something right. Sensing his handlers were about to view something they couldn't unsee, he darted in front of them, tripping one of the girls. Then it was all about a skinned knee, which meant Moon had to climb down the embankment to the rescue. Gertrude and I were the only ones who could hear Delphina roaring like a banshee with a chapped rear end. But Moon definitely saw her. Thinking quickly, Moon hustled the twins back up to the top of the embankment and into the SUV. Gesturing to Boyd to check under the bridge, Moon fetched a Band-Aid out of the glove box and set about repairing a bloody knee. Boyd saw Delphina before he even reached the bottom of the embankment. Delphina was standing right in front of the cement seam that had entombed her for so many decades. Boyd didn't appear to be frightened. Evidently, this wasn't the first ghosting incident with his long-lost grandmother. What he seemed to be was sad and tired. "Join the party, pal. We're all exhausted. Perhaps now, however, we can shine a little light on this dark and scary story." The next part took forever. Well, a few days, anyway. Technically, the bridge was part of Juniper Hollow, even though the road itself was a public access way. What this meant was that Boyd had to go to his arch enemy, Jasper Stratton, with his hat in hand. Pride cometh before a fall. Boyd has been exceptionally rude to Jasper ever since he got here, convinced there is some kind of nefarious activities happening at Juniper Hollow. Even finding out all Jasper was hiding was his proclivity for men and the game Dungeons & Dragons wasn't enough to convince Boyd. He must have gone to the concert, though, because Boyd was among the crowd having dinner at Legacy Grove afterwards. I suppose the twins insisted he come. They're quite fond of the old guffer. I have a bit of a soft spot for Boyd myself, especially now that I have the full backstory. Jasper, eager to stay in good graces with the rectal surgeons, agreed to a negotiation arranged by Scotty. The pillar encasing Delfina would be opened. Time for us ghostly chickens to roost. If only things could be that easy.
What's more quirky than cannabis? A reality TV show where everyone is half-baked. Quirky Cannabis Country by Adele Park is a trip you'll never forget. Get Quirky Cannabis Country today on Audible.com. Quirky Cannabis Country. Snag your copy before the whole place goes up in smoke.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.